Love God. Lift other God. Lift other God.
Welcome to Elevate Life Church. Now, sit back, relax, and enjoy another elevated message. Here's Senior Pastor Sergio Limone.
Guys, ready for the word today? Come on, we're going to jump into the word. We've been talking about how many got something out of that message last week from Pastor Cruz? Amen. Woo, praise God. That was a good time in the Lord. But we've been talking about a topic here called a different spirit. And I want to just kind of continue on this thought. I'm real hesitant to call these things series, because what we see in America many times is we just scan past quote unquote series and we just file it away and we're waiting for the next thing. But these are not really series as much as they're revelations. And they're revelations of things that I believe the Spirit of God wants us to have right now in the times that we're living in. And we started understanding this from our text in Numbers chapter 14, 20 through 24. And we began to look at the story of the children of Israel and how God brought them out of Egypt. And he brought them into the land of the wilderness, not so that they would stay there, but so that they would transition into their promised land. But something happened in the wilderness. The people of God got comfortable. They got comfortable not being slaves anymore. And they got comfortable living this lifestyle of God meeting all of their needs and God taking care of their clothing and feeding them through manna and all these things. They got so comfortable that when it came to the reason God took them out of Egypt, they were like, nah, I'm good, Lord. I don't need that. And I see this in the church in America right now. Most Christians have resigned to live in the wilderness. We're excited that we're not slaves to sin no more. We're no longer addicted to alcohol. We're no longer addicted to marijuana. We're no longer addicted to sex. We're no longer living the lifestyles we used to. And we're like, I'm good. No, God has more for you. Can I get an amen on that? But see, what's happening right now in America is the enemy is putting people to sleep through something called comfort. And I'm here to stir you out of your comfort. Can I get an amen on that? Listen, this is what the Holy Spirit wants us to do. We got to get uncomfortable. We got to give God a praise that is uncomfortable. We got to give God offerings that make us uncomfortable. We got to get into a church, oh, come on, somebody, that makes us uncomfortable. Maybe the way you praise makes you uncomfortable. Maybe the way we take offerings and talk about tithes makes you uncomfortable. Maybe the way I preach makes you uncomfortable. Well, guess what? That probably means you're in the right place. But if you don't like it, you could go over to Comfort Christian Center. Right down the way where they are just about, let's make you feel comfortable. We'll make everything comfortable for you. The worship will be comfortable. The word will be comfortable. Everything will be comfortable. And we'll get you out of here in an hour. Somebody in here is going, ooh, that sounds good. Pastor, what is that church at? It sounds good, but it's not good. Because you will never accomplish the promises of God for your life. And guess who will suffer? Your children. and your children's children. Sure, you'll feel okay because you're comfortable. But the ones that pay the price are the ones that come after us. And so Israel is here and they're comfortable. God is saying, okay, guys, I'm getting ready to take you into your promised land. It's a land that flows with milk and honey. And all these comfortable Christians, all these comfortable Israelites could see was, okay, milk? That means I gotta milk a cow? Ew. Oh, honey? Doesn't honey come from beehives? So I gotta get around bees and get stung? And I believe this is the thinking of Israel that caused them to settle in the wilderness rather than go into their promised land. And so Moses sends 12 spies, the Bible says, 12 leaders, the best of the best. These guys are the Marines. These guys were the ones that had it all together. They were the ones that went to church every week, gave their tithe, served. They were doing everything right. And yet still, 10 of them came back and said, nah, we good. And I believe this is what it's like in America today for most Christians. We're good. We're good just going to church. We're good that God broke the chains of our bondage. We're going to stay right here. But Numbers 14 tells us this, but my servant Caleb, because he had a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land where he went. And here it is. And his descendants shall inherit it. And that's why we've been talking about this message of a different spirit. Because I believe God wants to give us as a church a different spirit. I believe God wants to give you a different spirit. Because he didn't save you just so you could sit in a blue chair on Sundays. He didn't save you just so you could be a good person. He has something much, much greater for you and your kids and your kids' kids. Can I get an amen on that? But you're never going to see it unless you develop a different spirit. You're never going to see it. So what happened to the 10 spies? The Bible tells us this. They died in the wilderness, never possessing their promises. But Caleb and Joshua, they crossed over, fought many battles. And the scriptures go on to say that in his old age, Caleb said, God, give me this mountain. And God gave him a mountain. God gave him an inheritance in the promised land. And so you could go back over some of the messages from this month on our podcast. We talked about a couple things that you need to have a different spirit. The first thing we looked at was you must be a person of praise. You must be a person of praise. Caleb came from the tribe of Judah. Judah means praise. And we talked about that. That's why we turned a corner here, I believe, a few weeks ago. That's why we're no longer going to come into the house of God and let the praisers praise God for us. Because it don't work that way. We can't come into the house of God while the music is playing, the words are on the screen, and we're just... Because my brothers and sisters, that is not praise. And my God has been too good to you for us. Now, that's fine if you're a new person coming into the church for the first time. And you're not up on this thing. You don't know what church is about. Man, that's fine. You'll catch on. But some of us have been serving God way too long to come into the house of God. And the church said, amen. You'll never have a different spirit without becoming a person of praise. Praise has to be on your insides. Praise has to be a revelation of this. Even when I don't feel like praising, God has been too good for me to just sit here and do nothing. We talked about why praise is so important. It's so important because God commands it. He commands it. And I believe it's under attack in the church in America today. We've made church, remember, we've made it so comfortable that even now, most churches don't sing a lot of praise songs. It's right to the worship songs. Because I could do this and still look cool. But I don't look as cool when I'm dancing around. Come on, somebody. I don't look as cool when I'm shouting. But those are the things that God requires when it comes to a praise. And you might say, oh, pastor, I don't get down like that. That makes me feel uncomfortable. That's not my personality type. I'm a personality C, and I don't get into all that kind of stuff. And so, you know, see, this is where you lay down who you are for the sake of what God requires. You see, because I'm telling you right now, at Comfort Christian Center, they don't praise God like that. At Comfort Christian Center, they don't praise God like that because it may cause your mascara to run. It may cause you to sweat a little bit. Come on, somebody. It may get you out of your pride a little bit, but I'm just telling you, you cannot have a different spirit unless you're a praiser. You can. We talked about that. Go back and listen to that scripture. I mean, that message. And then we talked about the second thing that you need to have a different spirit is you need to be a person who is generous. You need to be a generous person. Stingy people don't have a different spirit. Because all stinginess shows you is you don't trust God. All stinginess shows you is that you trust your money more than you trust God. This is why you get so upset when we talk about money in church. That's why you get so uncomfortable. Ah, here we go again. Here we go again. Well, it's because this and that. Hey, listen, read your Bible. Read the Bible. It's the only place that God tells you, test me in this. Bring the tithe into the storehouse. Let me ask you something, folks. If you want to do something for Jesus and you can't touch him, feel him, see him, how do you express and give thanks to somebody you cannot see in the material world? Well, the Bible has made it clear that when you give to the house of God, the book of Hebrews tells us that in the spirit, Jesus is the one receiving our tithes and our offerings. He's the one doing it. And so you got to understand the vehicle that God has given to for us to show our generosity and to bring our sacrifices, like it says in 2 Peter, is the house of God. Why is it the church is the only thing on the earth that we want to go to and we don't want it to cost us a dime? We don't want to pay for nothing. We don't want to give nothing. You don't go anywhere else on the planet and have an expectation like that. But see, this ain't Comfort Christian Center. Amen? If I'm going to teach you how to have a different spirit, I got to teach you generosity. I got to teach you obedience. I got to teach you worship. And so we talked about that. Go back and listen to those messages. But the third thing I want to talk to you about today, in order to have a different spirit, is you must be a person of the Spirit. You must be a person of the Spirit. You can't be a person of the soul, which is the mind, the will, and the emotions, which this generation is definitely about. This generation has really surrounded itself around the soul. We have so much anxiety. We have so much trauma. We have so much of these things that exist in the soul realm. And we must address the soul realm. But we don't live from the soul realm. Can I get an amen on that? This is the problem with the generation we have right now. They live from the soul realm. And so when you live from the soul realm, your emotions lead you. And so if all the enemy has to do is stir up your emotions, you're done for. Because he knows how to do it. And so we've identified in this generation triggers. Who do you think is pulling those triggers? The enemy. The enemy. And he'll use people to trigger you But best believe it's Satan that's trying to get you to act outside of who Jesus created you to be. I believe it with all my heart. If you're going to be a person with a different spirit, you must be a person of the Spirit. Look at Ephesians chapter 3. I want to read it to you, verse 14 through 19. You can see it on the screen. I want to read it to you from the Message Bible. This is Paul writing to the Ephesians. And he says this, "My response is to get down on my knees before the Father, this magnificent Father who parcels out all heaven and earth." And look what Paul asks for. He says, "I ask him to strengthen you by his Spirit, not a brute strength, but a glorious inner strength, that Christ will live in you as you open the door and invite him in. And I ask him that with both feet planted firmly on love, you'll be able to take in with all followers of Jesus the extravagant dimensions of Christ's love. Reach out and experience the breadth. Test its length. Plumb the depths. Rise to the heights. And here it is. Live full lives. Full in the fullness of God." But guys, it all starts with God strengthening you by his Spirit. Folks, if you're going to have a different spirit and possess your promise for you and your family, you got to be a person of the Spirit. It's interesting how much we feed our flesh but starve our spirit. We feed our flesh every day, 3 times a day, 5 times a day, every day. Come on, somebody, amen. But we only eat once a week in the Spirit when we come to church. Some of us don't pray. Some of us don't read our word. I'm just telling you, you'll never have a different spirit living like that. If you're going to have a different spirit, you've got to turn your attention to taking care of your spirit. Not once a week, but every day. Come on, tell your neighbor every day. Proverbs 18:14. Look what it says here in Proverbs 18:14. This is in the Message Bible. "A healthy spirit conquers adversity." You guys in the back, it's on those notes. If you want to try to get those scriptures up from a couple weeks ago on a different spirit, you can put those scriptures up. "A healthy spirit conquers adversity. But what can you do when the spirit is crushed?" I see Christians so much give in to adversity. Adversity's coming. It's coming for you. We talked about this a few weeks ago. Life is gonna life. Life is hard. Life is difficult for everybody. But the Bible promises us that a healthy spirit conquers adversity. It gets you through tough times. See, this is what you need. How many know you need a good, strong spirit to get you through a marriage? I don't care who you marry. I don't care how incredible they are. You're going to need a strong spirit. You're going to need a strong spirit. Or guess what's going to happen? When the tough times hit, bro, you're going to end up leaving the one that God gave you. And you're going to blame her all the way out the door. "Well, you know, Pastor, I couldn't put up with her no more." That's because you got a weak spirit. "Well, Pastor, you know, she just got on my nerves." And you know what? You got on her nerves. "Well, Pastor, I just couldn't put up with it." Put up with what? What are you griping about? Do you remember you prayed for this woman? Remember when you was lonely and cold? God, give me a spouse. He gave one to you. And you can't even handle her. You know why? Because you got a little spirit. I don't know what some of y'all was thinking there. I don't know where you were. I don't know. Hey, Lord, help him, Lord Jesus. I felt that in the room. Kita rabasata. Lord, help him. Please, God. You got a little spirit. And so any adversity throws you off. You're in trouble if you don't build your spirit. I hear this a lot with the younger generation. They get a job. How's the job going? Ah, it's tough. I think I'm going to quit. Why? Yeah, because of this and that and the other. Let me tell you something. That's why they call it work. It's not supposed to be fun. It's not something you do. That's why they pay you to be there. Because it's hard. It's difficult. You'd rather be doing something else, but they give you money to be here. But here's what this generation, oh, it's just so hard. Get a strong spirit. And you'll be able to put up with them crazy coworkers. You'll be able to put up with a boss that's got an attitude and a few demons in him too, you know. But what happens? We miss opportunities and we leave places that God puts us because we can't endure adversity. You know how many men have probably left a good woman because they couldn't handle the adversity? You know how many ladies cheated on a guy because they couldn't handle the adversity? Tell your neighbor, get you a strong spirit. Proverbs 18, a healthy spirit conquers adversity. So why don't we work on our spirits? We work on our bodies. We work on our minds. But we only come to work on our spirit once a week. And the average Christian, listen to this, the average Christian in America only goes to church once every 6 weeks. Come on, do the math. What happens if you go to the gym once every 6 weeks? Come on, say it with me. Nothing. What happens when you go to church once every 6 weeks? Nothing. Do the math, y'all. Come on, do the math. But we don't care about our spirit. We care about our soul, the things that we can figure out, the things that we can, you know, think about and understand. We care about our bodies. But I'm telling you this, you can't possess your promise without being a person of the Spirit. Some of y'all need to hear this today. I got to come down there because some of y'all ain't hearing me. Somebody told me, Pastor, I knew you was serious the other day because you got off that platform. I'll never forget when I first came back to Sacramento and I began to preach and things. It was really the first time my father had seen me preach. And I'll never forget it. After one of the service, he comes over to me and he goes, "Who are you?" I go, "What do you mean, Dad?" He goes, "How did you learn how to do what you're doing?" I go, "Well, you know, the Lord just kind of..." He goes, no, because when I see you up there, I don't know you. I don't know that Sergio. That wasn't the guy that ate all the cereal in our house. And that's not the guy that couldn't keep his room clean. And his words really impacted me, and it taught me something. This is what I want to teach you today. You see, there is something that is stronger than your bloodline. This is going to set some of you free today. See, some of you are too tied to your bloodline. That's why you have generational trauma. That's why you have generational curses continuing to operate through your bloodline. And listen, we all got them. But what the Spirit of God offers you today is a way out of that family tree. A way out. How many need a way out of that family tree? Come on, somebody. I love my family. I don't want to be like them. Amen. Come on. Don't get too happy because some of them might be here. Amen. Okay. But here's what I learned. This is what I learned through time with the Holy Spirit. That by building up your spirit, you know, it's been said that blood is thicker than water. But there is something that is stronger than blood. And it's the Spirit. So that even though crazy runs in your family, you could tap into that spirit line You could tap into that spirit line and tap into your ancestry of the spirit. Well, who's my ancestry of the spirit? Read Hebrews 11. Read Hebrews 11. It'll talk about your cousin David. Come on, you know your primo David took down that giant? It'll talk about your great, 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 great grandfather Abraham, who had many sons, and many sons had Father Abraham. It'll talk about your great, 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 great abuelita Sarah, who was so fine. In her 90s, she was pushing out babies. It'll talk about all these incredible people of faith in Hebrews 11. Samson. Talk about all these great people of faith that by the Spirit we are joined to. We could tap into this spirit line. Can I get an amen on that? So when my father began to tell me that, Holy Spirit began to show me. Years ago, I tapped into something different. I tapped into that spirit line. And I'm here to tell some of you, because some of you often, identity-wise, you struggle. Because you look at your mom, you look at your dad, and you go, oh, this is what I am. Doesn't have to be. Doesn't have to be. This is why the Bible calls the church, the family of God. This is why being a part of Christianity grafts you. Remember, the Bible uses the language, you've been adopted into the family of God. And your inheritance is no longer just what your mom and dad gave you. Your inheritance now becomes the thing that Christ purchased for you. And you get to run around the King's kingdom as a son and daughter of God. And if you will just pay attention to your spirit, God can then begin to override your bloodline and the curses in your life and allow you to tap in to the greatness that is the Holy Spirit. Can I get an amen on that? Now think about that. And this is really real for some of us, because maybe you had a father that went to prison. Maybe you had a father that, you know, did some really, really heinous things. Maybe you had a mother, did her best, but man, she was just abusive. And many times as you grow up, you think, wow, this is where I come from. Doesn't have to be. Doesn't have to be. If you could build up your spirit, you could tap into the greatness of God. Many of you in this room are the first ones in your family to come to Christ. You need to catch this today, because God is trying to cut loose a new bloodline, a new spirit line through you. You're a new family tree, and God will use that as a testimony. He'll use that as a testimony, because while everybody else in your family is getting divorces, picking up their kids to take them to court, come on, having problems with rehab and all this stuff. Why is it you and your kids aren't doing that? Why is it you and your kids are getting educations, starting businesses? I'm telling you right now, it boils down to you being a person of the Spirit. Tell your neighbor right now, you got to be a person of the Spirit. So if you're going to be a person of the Spirit, you have to be somebody that pays attention to your spirit life. Your spirit life. Listen to this. The Holy Spirit, your spirit, determines your success or your failure. You're not limited by your bloodline. You're not limited by anything, because your spirit comes from God. Your spirit comes from God. And this is why we just read in Ephesians why Paul says, listen, I'm going to pray for you. But the thing that I'm going to pray for is that God will strengthen you by his Spirit. Why? Because the Spirit, the Bible teaches us, is where God will reside when he comes into you. God doesn't reside in your soul, your mind, will, and emotions. He doesn't reside in your flesh. You couldn't contain him. He resides in the Spirit. And we must pay attention to that Spirit. Can I get an amen on that? And too many of us don't. The book of Jude tells us in Jude 1:20. Let me read this to you here. Jude chapter 1, let me start with verse 17 through 23. It says, "But dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, in the last days there will be scoffers, listen, who will follow their own ungodly desires. These are the people that divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. But you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Save others by snatching them from the fire. To others show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by the corrupt faith, or corrupt flesh." So the book of Jude tells us this. You got to build yourself up praying in the Holy Spirit. When you look up that word in the Greek, to build up, means to edify. It means literally the same thing the way you would build up a muscle. How do you build up a muscle? You lift weights. You work out through resistance. How do you build up your spirit? Through praying in the Holy Spirit. Why don't we hear messages about praying in other tongues and praying in the Holy Ghost? You ready for this? Because it's uncomfortable. And most of the church in America is a part of the denomination, it's a part of the denomination Comfort Christian Center. And anything that makes us uncomfortable, we don't want nothing to do with it. So guess what we're giving up? A different spirit. Guess what we have in America? Christians who are spiritually weak. Christians that are plagued with anxiety, plagued with trauma, plagued with disease, plagued with addictions to pornography and all sorts of other hidden sins. Why? Because we have a small spirit. Why? Because there are certain things we've thrown out because it makes us uncomfortable. I know it's a hard word, but you either say amen or oh my. Come on, somebody. The Bible's very clear. Look at 1 Corinthians 14, 1 through 2. Follow the way of love. Eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit. That's something we don't even hear much about anymore. Gifts of the Spirit, like healing, prophecy. Come on, speaking in other tongues. Come on, all these things, you know, discerning spirits. Follow the love and eagerly. That means each one of you should have a desire to prophesy, to lay hands on the sick, to discern spirits, to have the word of wisdom, word of knowledge. You know what the average Christian's worried about? Their bills. Their job, their careers, their love life. Ain't nobody eagerly expecting these things. But look what he says. Eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit. Listen to this. Especially prophecy. Keep reading. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people, but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. Church, we got to get back to the Bible. If you're going to have a different spirit, you got to not be afraid. Thank you so much. We got to not be afraid to do things that make us uncomfortable. Let me say it like this. I said this a couple weeks ago. We've got to get over what people think. We've got to get over the feeling of weirdness. It's true. It's true. We don't want to do anything that makes us look weird. But when I read the scriptures, most of the things that God asks us to do are kind of weird. Praising God, that's a little weird. That's why some of us don't want to do it and don't do it. Lift my hands, okay. Dance, wait a minute. I don't dance for nobody. Shout in church, What do you want me to look like, a crazy man? Yet these are the things that the Bible instructs us to do while praising God. Kind of weird, I'll admit. How many would admit that? Kind of weird. Doesn't change the text. Doesn't change the text. You know, there's a lot of things that are kind of weird. Prayer, kind of weird. Especially when you talk about praying in the Holy Spirit. Now you're like, whoa, that's a lot. Some of y'all have been like, Pastor, I just ain't ready for that. Why? I'll tell you why, because it makes you uncomfortable. But if you're going to be a person of a different spirit, if you're going to be a person that says, man, God, I want what you have for me. I want all of what you have for me. And I don't care what I got to do, what you ask me to do, I'll do it. I was 19 years old when I made that decision. I said, God, I'm going to read this Bible, and whatever you tell me to do in this Bible, I'm going to do it. Because I want to get to my destiny. I want to accomplish my purpose. I wish I could get a whole church full of folks that would love God enough to say, God, I want every promise that you bled on that cross for to come to pass. You did not die on the cross for me and my loved ones to die in a wilderness, eating the bread of uncertainty, which is manna, and sitting out here and just coasting through life. I want everything that you paid a price for me to get. How many agree with that? Amen. But you got to understand, there's going to be things in the scripture that are going to make you uncomfortable. Look at Romans chapter 8, 26 and 27. It says, and the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. Groanings, people, that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying. Listen to this. For the Spirit pleads for us, believers, in harmony with God's will. Praying in the Spirit assures that you're praying the perfect will of God for your life. So why would you not do it? It makes me feel uncomfortable. It makes me feel uncomfortable. I'm telling you, you can't love comfort more than you love God. You can't love comfort more than you love His Word. How bad do you want it? How bad do you want that life for your family? How bad do you want the promised land for your kids? For your marriage. How bad do you want it? For some of us, we would, if we were being honest, we would go, well, Pastor, not that bad. Just stay where you're at. And you'll come up to a time, hopefully, that you'll come to your senses. And many times, unfortunately, it's when we hit rock bottom that we become desperate. That we don't care what it takes. I just want to be free. But you don't have to wait to hit rock bottom. You can respond to the word. And you can say, God, whatever it takes, man. Whatever is in your word, I desire it. You know, it's interesting to me that the Apostle Paul, one of the fathers of the church, the one that wrote, follow me, as I follow Christ. Translation, whatever you see me do, you do. He says this, beloved, I thank God, 1 Corinthians 14, 18. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. Interesting. And yet some of us don't ever pray in other tongues. Some of us have never received our prayer language. Some of you have it, but you only pull it out like a spare tire when you really need it. I'm telling you, we got to get back to biblical Christianity. We got to get an understanding that the life that God wants me to have, I cannot get there on my own. And it's going to take me trusting Him. It's going to take me saying, God, I fully don't understand everything, but if it's in your word, I'll obey it. That's what I did when I was 19 years old. Working at McDonald's, you've heard the story. First thing I did when I got paid after reading the scriptures and talking about the tithe, I gave my tithe. First thing I did when I went to church and I heard a pastor talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit with evidence of praying in other tongues, I went to that altar. The first thing I began to do is I began to read the book of Jude, verse 20, where it says, build up yourself, praying in your most holy faith. I began to pray in tongues every day. I mean, it's literally that simple. You read it, you do it. You read it, you do it. You read it, you do it. But see, what begins to happen is we start to put our opinion in the mix. And we start to put how we feel in the mix. Well, I don't feel like praying. Well, you know, when I was praying in tongues, I really wasn't feeling anything. And so people stop. And then we start putting our opinions in. Well, I was praying another. I hear these things all the time. Well, I was praying, Pastor, but I just didn't think I was doing it right. And we get all these mixtures in here, and it keeps us from taking care of one of the most important things that we need to be doing, and that is this, simply obeying the scriptures. Folks, we got to get over our own thinking sometimes. It's our own thinking that gets us in trouble because we must remember His ways are higher than our ways. You know, anytime I, you know, pride tries to creep into my life and, you know, I start patting myself on the back for what God's done in my life, the scriptures have a way of humbling us. And I'm reminded of the scriptures that tell me that God uses the foolish things of the world to conform to confound the wise. You know what that means? It means that God is going to use things that people call foolish to do powerful things in your life. One of the most foolish things is to open your mouth and pray in tongues and not know what you're saying. It's foolish. People walk into a church like that, they go, what the heck is going on here? You know, it's interesting. Anytime the Spirit would move in the Bible, people compared it to being drunk or under the influence. We see that in the book of Acts chapter 2. As they came out of the upper room, they were praying in the Holy Spirit. People said, oh man, these fools are drunk and it's only 9 a.m. And that's when Peter pulled it together and he goes, wait, wait, wait. These men are not drunk. It's the Holy Spirit. There's also a scripture in 2 Samuel that talks about a young woman that could not have a baby. And she was in the temple. And she would go to the temple every day and cry out to God. And the priest would look at her. And one day the priest comes over to her because the Bible says this, her lips were moving, but no language was coming out. And the priest came and said, how dare you come to the temple drunk? And she said, oh, excuse me. I'm not drunk. I'm praying. I'm praying for a son. And the Bible says that she then became pregnant with the prophet Samuel. See, she tapped into something even in the Old Testament when the Holy Spirit hadn't even been poured out on the earth yet. But her prayers were so deep. Hey, listen, her prayers were so spiritual that she tapped around that you and I get to walk in. And the priest came in and said, "You're drunk. Why?" You want to know why? Because it was a little weird. But being a little weird got her a son. And not just any son. A son who's written about in the Bible called Samuel. The son that would go on to anoint David as king of Israel. A son who saw signs and wonders. But it was her ability to tap into that spirit realm. Church, I'm just here to tell you, there are things that you will never see. You'll never see unless you develop a different spirit.
I think that this is your way of telling me something.
Well, I hope you've been encouraged by the Word of God. And if you have, go ahead and subscribe to our podcast or download our free app at the App Store. And you can continue to get Word every week from Elevate Life Church.